Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Both Roe v. Wade and Obergefell contradict natural law. You'll never be on the wrong side of history when you're on the right side of natural law.
For a long time now, the church has been infected by the world to make a woman think that to be of value, she must basically become a man.
The dare that we can give is, I dare you to read this. I dare you. Because the Word of God is living, mighty, and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's even living for people who are deniers and rejectors of it.
The one truth is that Jesus the Christ was born, died, and rose again from the dead for the salvation of men.
Utilization review nurses love to listen to Issues Etc. while they work. Can I help you?
Late last week, the New York Times published an article titled States with Abortion Bans Are Among Least Supportive for Mothers and Children, full of charts and graphs and data and conclusions. How did the New York Times attempt to measure whether or not a state that bans abortion is less supportive of mothers and children? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, August the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to look at this story with Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, to kick things off today. Pastor Michael Schuerman joins us after that. He's pastor of University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois. We will talk about staying connected to Christ in college, and then we'll respond to your unanswered Bible questions with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, author of the book Reading Isaiah with Luther, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of Has American Christianity Failed? Joining us to discuss a New York Times story titled States with Abortion Bans Are Least Supportive of Mothers and Children, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What states currently ban abortion after Roe v. Wade has fallen?
Well, as of now, there are 8 states that had laws that immediately went into effect or very soon after the Supreme Court decision. So we were protecting children in Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, and Wisconsin. And we expect very soon laws to go into effect in Idaho, Tennessee, hopefully Louisiana. We had some states all primed to protect unborn children, and the courts stepped in, answering the call from the abortion industry. So North Dakota, Wyoming, Kentucky, West Virginia, they're waiting on court decisions before they know what their law is going to be.
What states have enacted Roe-like laws to permit abortion, in some cases through all 9 months of a pregnancy up to birth?
Well, we've got, unfortunately, 20 states in the District of Columbia that are going to allow almost all abortions to continue for any reason. We've got 11 states that say abortions can be performed up to the moment of viability, or 24 weeks, which viability right now is, 24 weeks, but it could actually be 22 because we've had babies survive at that age. And we have 7 states that have no limits on abortion at any time through pregnancy. So we've got about half of the country, almost half of the country, that is still willing to allow abortion for any reason for most of the pregnancy, and it's really sad.
What was your general reaction to the New York Times story last week comparing states that ban abortions with those that don't?
I wasn't surprised, because there is a definite effort to portray states that want to protect unborn children as not caring about the children after they are born, not caring for women. They really do want to paint this broad brush of pro-lifers being concerned about the unborn child and nothing else after birth. And that's totally inaccurate. But the Times put forward what looked like a good piece if you were just, reading it for basic information. The problem is that it was wrong.
So how did the Times piece attempt to measure a state's support for mothers and children?
They wanted to know how much the state is basically supporting what many would consider social welfare programs. Medicaid? Are they requiring employers to provide paid leave or parental leave for a woman, you know, or parents after childbirth? Minimum wage, you know, how low is the wage in that state? Are they providing free or subsidized childcare? Now, all those can be good things, but they also usually come with restrictions, red tape. And there are some states that want to be a little more free of government regulation. And I think many of the states have responded in ways that will help women and unborn children, but not getting into the kind of programs that the New York Times thinks are necessary to protect and support children and women. I think it's also critical that the New York Times is... they're just protecting the abortion industry as much as they can, and they have to make those pro-life states look bad. And that's totally what they're doing or trying to do.
So are government aid, Medicaid extensions, paid leave, are those good measures of how pregnant women will fare post-Roe?
They're not. Instead of some of these programs that the New York Times thinks are critical, the states are responding, but in different ways. Mississippi is the state that the New York Times really targeted because they do not like what Mississippi is doing in protecting unborn children. And Mississippi is a poor state. Many of their wages are maybe lower than other states. But they also, just earlier this year, passed a law to allow tax credits for people who make donations to pregnancy resource centers. Missouri and North Carolina have the same, where they are providing funding for pregnancy resource centers. Pennsylvania has a maternal and child health services program. The New York Times was almost making fun of Texas for only giving $100 million to a program that will provide nursing for newborn babies and their moms, even sending a nurse into the home if that is requested, to make sure that everything is going fine and, you know, doing health and wellness checkups for mom and baby. So many of the states are responding in very positive ways, just not in the specific programs that have been around for a long time that some people think are the measurement. They really... I think the bottom line of the New York Times is we've got poor people, we've got poor women, and unless you are going to give them absolutely everything free in life, they should be killed. There is a middle ground. It's not killing the baby or providing absolutely everything. But the pro-life movement and churches and pregnancy resource centers are stepping up, and I fully expect them, as well as many of the state governments, to step up with programs that are going to help, but it's going to be something specific to the state that will actually be popular and beneficial.
How do you respond to the often repeated assertion that it's more dangerous to give birth than to have an abortion?
Well, they're looking at statistics that basically are comparing apples and oranges. The maternal mortality rate in this country is somewhere almost 24 women that have experienced a pregnancy in the last year die out of every 100,000 live births. But the way that the Centers for Disease Control looks at all of this is kind of strange. If a woman dies within a year of the pregnancy, even if it's in a car accident, that is considered maternal mortality, and she's included in those numbers. But there is no federal law that requires the reporting of a woman who dies from an abortion or abortion complication. Actually, the woman who dies from a miscarriage, or if she has suffered problems, complications after a chemical abortion, she is reported as a maternal mortality death. But the abortion itself is not included because the maternal mortality rate is based on live births. So in many ways, the numbers are just really messed up. They need to do refiguring and put it on basic facts. So the deaths from abortion are not reported, but they are included in the maternal mortality. So the CDC just needs to rework everything. And at this point, I would say question anything you read on maternal mortality, because it's, like I said, comparing apples and oranges between live births, maternal mortalities, and abortions.
So finally, what is your take on the recent media coverage of crisis pregnancy centers?
The Democrats in Congress, led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, are really, really trying hard to get rid of pregnancy centers, claiming that they are fake centers because they don't refer women for abortion. And they really want to shut them down. And there is legislation in Congress to shut them down. So we need to be protecting them and fighting for them. I don't expect anything like that to pass Congress, but there are strong efforts. The pregnancy centers are going to be under attack over the next few years, whether it's federal government, state government, abortion industry, their allies in the media. These are centers that are doing fantastic work, helping women through a difficult time with her pregnancy, providing support for her and her baby. And yet they are being slandered, lambasted, and we're going to be doing everything we can to protect them. And I encourage the church to do so as well.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tad.
Pastor Michael Shurman joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about staying connected to Christ in college. What is the greatest challenge to the faith of a new college student? We'll answer that question right off with him next.
I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Päivi Räsänen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.